My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Absolutely. In order to do that, you got to win possession downs, and we're just not winning enough of those right now. That problem lingers. Again, it's somewhat of an incomplete study because you just don't get a chance to see them operate or us establish rhythm and personality when you're not winning possession downs. And we weren't. You know, the first three or so series of the game, it was, you know, three and out, and that's, you're not going to get an opportunity to establish rhythm or play the way that you would like as an individual or a collective.
First answer from Tomlin was just about the offense. The second answer from Tomlin, he was specifically asked about Russ Wilson, but notice he didn't put any of the blame on Russ Wilson. Take this for what it is, because it is the preseason, but the Steelers have not gone two consecutive games since the year 2000. Regular season, playoffs, preseason, scoring fewer than 15 points. And that's what they've done now in these first couple of games. So that's no good. The Steelers play their top two quarterbacks the entire game. We all watched it. And failed to score a touchdown against the Bills team that played its starting defense for about three series. So how'd you take it all in, Doran? At least you had the chili.
It was boring. It was boring. But, like, you know, I wrestle with myself as, like, it is preseason. A lot of these plays are just generic plays. A lot of these plays are, you know, kind of pointed to each quarterback to see what they can do and to be put in probably the worst situation possible. Like, if I was an OC and knowing some of these OCs in the NFL, and especially Arthur Smith, like, I want to see you uncomfortable. I want to see how you react to certain situations. I want to see how you react to certain plays, because that'll tell me if the play works, two, if you can get through the play and decipher what's going on the defense, and three, if I need to throw the play out, and it's just not a part of the offense. I do believe that there's a method to, and I know, like, I know people want to see the Steelers score points. I know they want to see Russell Wilson throw the ball down the field, Justin Fields throw the ball down the field, the correct protections, things of that nature. But I do believe that this is all a test for the two quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, to see how uncomfortable that they could be and if they can get out of situations. Like, Arthur Smith is very smart, so he's going to put his quarterbacks and his offenses in really good situations whenever it does matter. I just feel like you could take this time to put them in uncomfortable situations, which maybe I'm just hoping that that's what we've seen, because everything just looks so generic to me. Like, there's nothing that, you know, this, it's hard for me not to think that this isn't on purpose for the plays that are being run throughout a game, because, like, it's not anything that's a beater.
Well, I think there's absolutely something to that. I think one of the reasons why Kenny Pickett was able to have wow, that came out weird.
Dang.
Man, that's a screw up real early. One of the reasons Kenny was able to have success in the preseason last year is because he's going out there against vanilla coverages. And it was year number two in Matt Canada's not great offensive system, but he knew where guys were supposed to be. He understood the concepts. And when you understand the concepts and there is continuity, continuity does mean something. And Buffalo, because it was the same team, they're out there, they're playing standard stuff. And at times they're not playing their best guys. So Kenny goes out there. He doesn't have to think. He just knows where dudes are, and he gets the football to them.
Mm-hmm.
Russ hasn't practiced a lot. It was the first week of practice for Russell Wilson. The offensive line was garbage, but they're also not game planning for what Buffalo's doing out there. And so you're not going to, if you think you've got offensive line problems, scheme up ways to help out your offensive line. It's just what you see is what you get.
Yep.
And Broderick Jones, not great.
No.
Actually, every offensive lineman that started, and we'll get into this a little bit later on, graded out poorly in this game. So the offensive line doesn't get any help. They're not calling things necessarily to help the offensive line. Russ is rusty. That's why I'm not freaking out. But I saw Andrew Filippone put out a Twitter poll during the game, and he was very smart to do this. Who do you want to see start week one against Atlanta? And overwhelmingly, it was Justin Fields. So I've now put out a different Twitter poll, even though it's the same. A different time. I've asked the same question. Who do you want to start week one against Atlanta? I think the results may well be different when you remove yourself from the game. When you're in the middle of the game and you at least see Justin Fields running around and you see Russell Wilson on his back three times, people are going to say Justin Fields. All right, we've all had a moment to breathe. Who do you want to start at quarterback? 412-928-9370. We'll get into that as we move forward in the program. Let's break down Russ, though. We'll get into Justin Fields. Let's break down Russ. He goes 8 of 10, 47 yards, gets sacked three times for 21 yards. A lot of times Tomlin bloviates and says stuff, and I go, come on, man, you're making excuses. I thought his analysis was spot on after the game. He said his offensive line needs to be much better in pass protection, and basically he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he didn't mince words. He told those guys, you got to protect the quarterback. But the first drive, it's 3rd and 5, false start, now it's 3rd and 10.
Right.
It's not easy to convert 3rd and 10s. Second drive, first play, Rousseau et Oliver come up the middle. You're behind the chains immediately. You've got a 3rd and 12. Not going to pick up a lot of 3rd and 12s. It's just not going to happen, especially when you don't have their tendencies because you haven't game planned it and you don't have, like you said, your specific 3rd down and 12 play calls. Third drive, they finally start to get stuff going. Najee Harris moves the chains a couple of times. Then it's 3rd and 7, and what happens? Broderick Jones gets eviscerated. That's not on Russ. Fourth drive. You wind up having a 2nd and 14. You're behind the sticks and, well, okay. It's not going to be good. Fifth drive. That's where you had the pass to George Pickens, where I thought if they had made the call on the field that he got his feet in, I think you stay with the call on the field. They made the call that he didn't get his feet in, so you go with the call on the field. But you're on the outskirts of field goal range. It's a 3rd and 11. So my point is, while Russ wasn't exactly awe-inspiring, the offense, to me, let Russ down more than Russ, in my opinion, let the offense down.
See, like that's where I'm at, too. Like, it's one thing to run generic plays and to put the quarterback in tough situations, but to see the offensive line, and especially Broderick Jones, you know, focusing in on him, like, it doesn't matter if you could scheme up or not. Like, he was getting physically abused. Like, and you can you can make that work. Like, if it's a generic offensive line calls and it's generic protections, you still need to block your guy. Like, you still can't get your chest caved in. Like, that is a little worrisome, to be honest. And whenever you have your guy that's going into a second year that's a former first-round pick that is playing right tackle, a position that he played last year and played at a decent level, get abused, that's worrisome. I will say that.
That is a much bigger concern to me. And the offensive line as a whole, a much bigger concern to me than either of the two quarterbacks right now.
Yes.
These aren't guys that get rid of the ball quick either. So you need your offensive line to hold up in pass protection. Russ likes to hold the ball in the pocket. Justin Fields holds the ball for a long time. You got to give them an opportunity to do that. And on the sack that you're talking about in particular, no quarterback in the league is getting that ball off.
No.
Broderick Jones, I thought actually full started. Like I think he got off the ball quicker than he legally was allowed to, and still, bang, boom, done. So anybody, and there were a lot of national talking heads, you saw it a ton on social media from Steelers fans, anybody saying, boy, 1.2 is even too much to pay Russell Wilson. Wow, the Steelers, you get what you pay for, bargain basement shopping. A, it's preseason, and B, I don't know if you're a football knower, and I'm not as knower of the football as you are, Dor. I think if you are a football knower, you can't possibly be saying Russell Wilson was the problem.
No.
I think it's one of those memes where tell me you don't know about football without telling me you don't know about football.
Right.
I'm not sure what Russ is supposed to do. Like on the third down and 12 where he checks it down to Pat Freiermuth, he didn't get the ball, immediately turn, throw it to Pat Freiermuth. He's looking down the field.
He's scanned.
There's nothing there. I'm going to give it to a tight end who's about to be a very rich man who 2 years ago was a top 10 tight end in receptions and yards. And I'm going to see if he can make a play because there's no better options. So I can't watch that game and go, oh, God, oh, jeez, Russell Wilson stinks. No, he didn't get any freaking help.
No, that could be concerning as well, too. I mean, even just zeroing in on that play that if you don't have a receiver that can get open.
That I can give you.
And he's like looking, okay, oh, man, I have to dump it down because nobody's open. Like, that's where the whole Ayuk thing comes in. That's where this, you know, this receiving unit, that's why we've been talking about this for so long, that you don't have one guy that could get open. And now George Pickens is, you know, is blanketed. So it's like you look to your next option that's down the field and he's not getting open. That could be a situation that we probably would be expecting right now with this unit.
That, I think, is a fair way to look at what's happened. You've got an offensive line where your right tackle was dog water. A quarterback, both of them, who like to hold the football, and a wide receiver group that, apart from George Pickens, is going to have trouble getting open, that is a recipe for absolute disaster.
Yep.
And I know that it's going to look different because we're talking about vanilla play calls. You're going to have an Arthur Smith that is going to be creative formationally, and he's going to scheme guys open. So that is going to help. But sometimes you just got to beat your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And is Van Jefferson going to do that significantly? On third downs, you're worried about Pickens. You're worried about Freiermuth. You can take two guys away. So who's getting open? That is a massive concern.
Yeah, and it's about consistently getting open. Like, I know it's the NFL and you're not going to be open all the time, but any decent receiver is always, quote-unquote, open. Like, you have to be able to get open, even though the ball might not come your way. If you don't look open, you better, and your first step and your break right or break left or sit down, be open for at least a second. I didn't see that much.
Yeah.
And that is very concerning. But also at the same time, I mean, Buffalo wasn't setting the world on fire either on offense. Like, their offense didn't look great either. Like, I mean, what, 9 points?
You're correct, but I expect that out of a Mitch Trubisky-led unit.
True.
I was hoping to see more. And the thing that was concerning to me, again, I don't put this on the quarterbacks, but you think you've got two potentially starting caliber QBs, and they play the entire game. Buffalo played its defensive starters for three series. And you moved the ball better, I think, with Fields, but you still didn't put up a lot of points. And so I am a little bit worried. For many more of the reasons that you laid out than the people who were critical of the quarterbacks. But let's talk about Justin Fields when we come back. So that's what we thought about Russ. What did we think about Justin Fields? There's a controversial play, and there's been a ton of debate about this online. We'll get into that. Whose fault was it, really? And we want your text at 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can call us at 412-928-9370. The Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We talk about Fields.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We come back. So it was an ugly preseason game. Tough watch. But at least the Steelers stayed healthy. All right, checking my notes. They did not.
Mm-mm.
So we will get into that coming up at about 6:35. The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Who do you want to see start at quarterback when the Steelers open the season against the Atlanta Falcons? Russ Wilson right now leading the Twitter poll. So my hypothesis, at least to this point, has been proven correct.
Mm-hmm.
During the game. Oh, God, we got to have Justin Fields. Well, now after the game, you breathe, you think. You evaluate the YouTube tape, Doran.
Yes.
Maybe get some All-22.
Yes.
The people saying Russell Wilson. What did Mike Tomlin have to say about Justin Fields' performance?
You know, I thought he got better in some areas. I thought he did a nice job utilizing his legs, whether it was impromptu or otherwise, to keep some situations alive. But again, I just thought performance was stymied by our lack of protection and our lack of execution on possession down play. You know, we're going to be thoughtfully aggressive in possession down ball. We had another fourth down in the red area that we lost again this week as we worked to, you know, score touchdowns. And, you know, we're just not going to be compromising in that regard. We put too much effort into our prep in that area, not to be thoughtfully aggressive in that area. But that's 2 weeks in a row where we lost a fourth down play in the tight red zone, for example. And that just shows you the weight and the impact of possession down play.
So there were two key plays that have been combed over by the Twitter analysts, Doran. The fourth and short read option, and then the TJ Luther post play off of play action where folks seem to not know who to blame. Which one would you like to start with? Because you're our football guy. You can give it to us straight here.
Well, I think that the read option play is kind of self-explanatory. I think that anybody who watches football could clearly see that he should have handed the ball off. And that's a play that, you know, we've talked to Pat Bostic about, like, how the dynamics of that does work. I mean, you stick the ball. I mean, it's more on the quarterback to pull it. And Fields just made a bad read.
Yep.
He wanted to have the ball in his hands, and he thought he could pull it and outrun the defense and get to the corner and, you know, score a touchdown there, which is going to happen whenever you do call those plays. But I think that that's very obvious that he should have handed the ball off, and that probably would have scored a touchdown. The running back at the time was...
I think it was Warren.
Was it Warren?
I think so.
Ryan, maybe?
I could be wrong.
Okay,
I
well, it doesn't wrong. Really matter, but he should have just handed the ball off.
Worst case scenario is you pick up the first down there if you hand the ball off.
Right.
And you just live to fight another round.
Bad read by Fields.
Yeah. And then the other one, the post pattern. T.J. Luther, after the game, said, I definitely think I could have come down with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes the responsibility on himself. That's what I thought live. I feel like Batch and Pomp put it on Fields, but was it a perfect ball? No, absolutely not. But Luther slows down inside the five, and then that's a hell of a leap. But he also hit the B button like... a second and a half early, it felt like. I think if he keeps running, Doran, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think if he keeps running, that ball lands right in his breadbasket.
So those deep posts like that, whenever you're on play action, I mean, you're taught as a quarterback to throw to the near upright, and that is the, you know, the upright of the field goal post. That's where you want to put the ball. But if you have a good feel for it and you know that there's no safety over the top and that maybe the receiver beat the safety and the safety is underneath, so the middle of the field is open, you kind of would prefer a quarterback to lead you to the opposite field goal post, the other upright,
mm-hmm.
because then there's more room for you to go run the ball down. But where Justin Fields put that ball was exactly where he's supposed to put the ball. Luther needs to just keep running.
Yeah.
If you watch the play in slow motion, if you kind of just click the bar and just watch it in slow motion, you could tell that if he just kept on his trajectory as a receiver and just kept running, that the ball would just land right in his hands and he would have stayed skinny on the skinny post. But I would more blame it on a younger receiver than Justin Fields. You put Justin Jefferson, you put Ja'Marr Chase, you put George Pickens, you put Brandon Ayuk in that situation, that's a touchdown. They're going to feel the ball, and they're not going to jump, and they're going to just run through it, and it's just right in the breadbasket. But in a perfect world, you'd want to lead him, just give him all the area to distract the ball down and maybe run across the field a little bit.
Yeah, because he did put that thing on a rope.
On a rope.
But I mean, that was on a rope.
Any top two receiver comes down with that.
In addition to that, which should have been a touchdown, 11 of 17, 92 yards. He did the whole Houdini act, and he threw a laser beam on the sideline that was a quarter of an inch away from being a disaster, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It's a hell of a play. I thought Justin Fields in this game looked exactly like the bill of goods we had been sold by Chicago Bears fans. Like, he does some spectacular stuff. He's inconsistent. He's going to make you scratch your head at times. But from an athletic profile standpoint, he's as athletic as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's tantalizing. I think that's why Steelers fans go, oh my gosh, some of them, he should be the starting quarterback. Look at the upside. Look at the ceiling. I'm seeing a lot of the same guy that we saw in Chicago. The good, the bad, the ugly. And I need to see more consistency if he's going to be the guy game one.
Yeah.
Like, he would need to show me that some of the things he's been working on that he has improved on. We haven't seen a ton out of the pocket success from him. Part of that's the offensive line. And some of the success that he did have, you also have to remember, when you're throwing the ball to the T.J. Luthers of the world, Buffalo's got their T.J. Luthers out there too.
Right.
So it is easier to look more athletic when you're also not playing against the first or second team defense.
I mean, he does a lot of improvising.
Yes.
Like, that's just his game. And whenever things do break down, he can't rely on his legs. He can't rely on his athletic ability. You know, that's really what got him drafted. That's what got him drafted, you know, high first round to Chicago. So I'm in agreeance with you, but to see that, it is tantalizing because you know that he can get out of situations. Whenever things do break down, like, you know that you have a chance to at least get a first down, you have a chance to move the sticks. That is very tantalizing if you're an offensive coordinator or you're a head coach, because things are hard in the NFL and guys do get covered. And you don't have, as we talked about in the last segment, separators. That is worrisome. So if you don't have separators and things break down and then Justin Fields has the ball, you can't extend drives with him. And I don't know if you could do that with Russ. Right now, you can do that with Russ, but not like that.
He doesn't have what he used to have, Russ, right. in that area. Back in the day, yeah, Russ was doing for that sure. kind of stuff. He's running around. Russ's highlight tape is as fun to watch as any highlight tape I've ever seen because it's like Ben, but he's like half Ben's size.
Right.
And so he's running around and he's 15-step drop stuff like that. He just can't be that guy anymore. So here's what I want to see. I would say both quarterbacks, you can't give him an A. You probably can't give him a B. I don't think you can give him worse than like a C+. Mm-hmm. I don't blame the failures on the quarterbacks so much as I do the situation around them. I don't have a good feel about either of them. I also don't have a bad feel about any of them. I know that that's not a sexy radio thing. I would play both guys in the third game. I would. Because if your offensive line, here's where I can meet some people. If your offensive line is this bad early, Russ is going to get crushed and killed back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Justin is going to get hit and harassed a lot too, but probably not as much because he's got the superpower thing going.
Right.
He is an athlete still in his prime, whereas Russ is not an athlete in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it again. If the offensive line is as bad again, the starters are as bad again in the final preseason game, I think I might consider Justin Fields. Because I don't know how you're going to be moving the chains if Russ Wilson's under pressure immediately over and over and over and over again.
You could just tell when Russ does get, you know, if there is pressure, like, it's almost over. You know, and in that, like, you got to be able to hold up way longer for him than you do Justin Fields. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Do you want to go the conservative route? Like, hey, we'll just live with it, and we trust our defense that if the pockets aren't clean and we do take sacks, that our defense will come through, and that's kind of like last year.
Oh, boy.
Or do you want to just say, like, hey, like, we'll take the risk of Justin Fields throwing a bad throw, but at least he'll get out of the pocket and actually make something happen.
Right.
And try to give yourself the opportunity to make a play. I don't know. It's really give and take there.
If all things were equal, if you had an average, and it still might be, it's a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an average pass-blocking offensive line or slightly above average, which talent-wise they should, haven't shown it yet, I think you go with Russ. I think he's a better player.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at an offensive line that can't block, I think you almost have to go with Justin Fields.
Right.
I'm not ready to plant my flag on Fields should start day one, but I am getting there. I also thought we saw some skittishness. It's not a word, but you know what I mean, from Justin Fields. There was one drop back in particular where he did get happy feet,
uh-huh.
which, you know, that's going to happen. But in year four, I was hoping we wouldn't see that. That's kind of been one of the knocks on him. I think he was exactly what they sold us.
Yeah.
Exactly what they sold us. He's going to run around. He's going to do some special stuff. He's also going to escape pockets sometimes earlier than he should. I don't know that he's not improved or anything like that, but the scouting report on Justin Fields that we got from people from Chicago is exactly the guy I think we saw on Saturday night.
Yep.
Injuries now an issue. Apparently, Broderick Jones been dealing with something. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Some other injuries that are concerning. Before we do get into the injuries, why don't we just talk about the offensive line more mm-hmm. in depth? Yeesh. Not for the faint of heart. That's coming up next. Speaking of your heart, schedule a heart screening today, Doran. And trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care.
Certainly, but I'm not looking for the feel good. I'm looking for the things that we need to set our focus on in an effort to improve. But I acknowledge there were some things that were better today, certainly.
Were there? I mean, the center and quarterback seemed to be okay. Snap the ball, take the ball, that kind of thing. That was bad in game one. They cleaned that up. Didn't clean up much else. And it's tough to win at any level of football if your offensive line stinks. And in this game, the offensive line stunk. Now, Pro Football Focus ain't exactly the be-all, end-all, and people are leaving that company in droves for whatever reason.
I know, right?
I mean, they are just boop, taking off. Our guy, Spielberger, who we used to have every Tuesday, miss him dearly. Love you. He always listens. Love you, Brad. He left. Got a good opportunity. I saw Palazzolo, who goes on with the PM guys.
Yep.
He's now out.
Somebody else did, too.
Somebody else took off. Yep. They got people leaving in droves. But I'll give you the numbers anyhow because mm-hmm. it helps build my argument. Dan Moore Jr., your starting left tackle, 58.8 grade. That's no good. Isaac Seumalo, 53.7. Zach Frazier, I was not going to read that one. Broderick Jones, 50.5. James Daniels, 46.7. All right, Frazier's was 52.5. So none of those numbers are good. I don't know. And here's why people might have a problem with Pro Football Focus. How could anybody have had a lower grade than Broderick Jones?
Right.
Right? Like, my man got put on skates a couple of times. Like, that's why I can't sit here and say, oh, geez, Russ Wilson stunk. Well, he didn't have any time. And I understand why-ish you've got Dan Moore at left and Broderick Jones at right. Because you're probably not going to have Sayamalu healthy enough for game one. And you won games with Dan Moore at left and Broderick Jones at right last year. But Broderick, on locker cleanout day last year, this from Nick Fairbaum, happy he found this. Broderick said, I would say I'm more comfortable on the left just because I've been playing it for so long. I haven't had much repetition at right before this year. Now, he did play there all of last season. That being said, you've got a guy who was a project when you drafted him, who is a natural left tackle, who you are now playing at right tackle, and it does not look like he's improved. He may well even have regressed. So I kind of think they're screwing the pooch with our guy Broderick Jones here, Dorn.
You think that we'll see him at left this game? I do.
I think what you need to do is put him at left, Dan Moore at right. Now, Dan has said the same stuff, and they've said that about Dan Moore.
Yeah, but who cares about Dan Moore? It's about Broderick's development.
Agreed.
Who cares?
Agreed. If you're going to get below-the-line play from Broderick Jones at right tackle, I would rather just get below-the-line play from Dan Moore at right tackle so that you can get Broderick Jones developing at left tackle. I'm with you 100%.
Like I think that they absolutely will play him at left and start him at left this coming game against the Lions. Well, I don't know how many series that everybody's going to get, but I mean, usually you have a preseason game, and you know now it's three, but you have this past preseason game. It's like, okay, we have everything settled. We get some kinks worked out, but they didn't get any kinks worked out, in my opinion, and your opinion as well, that you're going to have to play some guys in this last preseason game, and especially the offensive line, to get on the same page, because then you have a week to prepare, and then you start the season. And you don't know if your rookie right tackle is going to play or not, so you best well put Broderick at left and see how it looks.
You got to do it, because if Sayamalu is healthy, if Faltanu is healthy, then
that's the unit.
Yeah. And so what? He's going to start at left tackle after not having started at left tackle in a game and only having done it in practice? That's not good enough. It's not. I'm worried about this. People want to talk about quarterback, and of course it's quarterback. It's sexy. It's important. Broderick Jones playing like that is disastrous. And you need to do your best to get the most, it's only year two, out of a first round friggin' pick that you traded up for. This screams, hey, Henry Davis, go play right field to me.
Yeah.
Now, it's different. You know, tackle's tackle, whereas catcher and right field are totally different, but Broderick was a project to begin with, and now you've got him learning a position that does not feel natural to him. It's just, it's idiotic. And even if Faltanu is not healthy for game one, in short order, that is going to be your offensive line. So get Broderick at left in the game against the Lions. And look, I've heard every single press conference that Mike Tomlin has ever done. My read is those guys are going to play, and they might play a fair amount in the final game.
Yeah.
Because they need to. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he basically called those guys out. We need to be able to pass protect. I just hope that it's not one of those slap him on the ass, say, you guys need to be better. No. How about you make the necessary positional changes to help get the unit better?
Yeah. I just been hearing so many good things out of practice. I'm wondering why that hasn't been translating. Well, I mean, I do know why. You're not going against, you know, good on good as much.
Rousseau's pretty good. He's pretty good, but still.
Nothing's really translating. That's what brings me back to the fact that these games have been so vanilla that the stuff they've been working on, even in practice, isn't even being called and worked on in the game.
I can buy that.
A little bit.
I can buy that. Gregory Rousseau's coming off the edge on a third down.
You gotta win. You just can't. That's different. That's just physicality. Like,
well, I would think maybe you'd chip him with a tight end or something,
exactly,
which they didn't do.
Exactly.
But Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to win your one-on-one matchups, or at the very least, hold your own. And he did not win the matchup, and he most assuredly did not hold his own at all. And that's what do you want Russ to do on that play? Get sacked in a way where you're not going to get hurt, is what I would say. And now it's not just the play is below the line. Now your depth is significantly tested. So what you're hearing about Broderick, and I had not heard this reported. First play of seven shots, Broderick Jones hurts his elbow, right? Mm-hmm. Elbow? Mm-hmm. Hurts his elbow. We don't hear anything about it. Then he stinks in the game. Well, he's nursing something. If you're out there, you got to play. If you're out there, you got to play well. That's the NFL. You're starting. You're a guy. I don't care if you're banged up. If you're banged up, you're not injured to the point not being able to play. Go out there and play at the requisite level. The standard, as Mike Tomlin would say, is the standard. But now Herbig's going to be out, so that's going to test your depth, and you don't have Feltonu at this particular moment. So if you thought you had eight offensive linemen, now you got six. It's no good. Let's get into some more of the injury stuff with our injury report coming up next. Three significant ones, I think, for the Steelers, and we'll talk about them when we come back. At the top of the hour, we want you to weigh in on quarterback at 412-928-9370. Get in line now. Who do you want to start game one against Atlanta? 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Caboli, who's writing stories on Twitter now, and is a Pat McAfee correspondent, is going to join us from 8 o'clock until 9. So looking forward to hearing Mark's thoughts on preseason game number one. We'll get more into the quarterbacks coming up in about 10 minutes. National media members are weighing in. I also have one more thought on the offensive line. But right now, Doran, it's the injury report, which is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Jalen Warren got a hamstring injury. And he could miss game one. He's going to be out a couple of weeks. My best guess, you're a football player, but my best guess is he probably will miss week one. You don't want to mess with those hamstrings. You got to be very careful with the hamstring injury, Dor.
Yeah, and I do believe that that hindered him last year. I feel like at some point, I could be wrong, so maybe text in or tweet us. I do believe that Jalen Warren had a little hamstring deal last year, so that's something you don't want to rush back, and I would guess that he is going to miss week one, and that just puts you... You know, it doesn't end, you know, your thoughts of how you want to start the season, but it does put you in a bind at that position that now Najee's going to have a full load on his plate. You're not going to be able to run certain things that Jalen brings to the table that Najee can't. So, like, you know, that is very significant in a situation to monitor as these weeks go on. But I were to guess he's probably going to miss game one.
Yeah.
I mean, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah. 3 weeks away. You're going to be really careful with them. Get them on the bike, stuff like that. You don't want a pull turning into a tear. You just can't mess with that. Mm-mm. That's one. You just need to give him time. And as I think about Atlanta, Matthew Judon now on board, Justin Simmons now on board, a lot of people are picking Atlanta to win that division down there. And a lot of people are saying that this is a double-digit win team. Now, we'll see what happens with Kirk Cousins in week one, quarterback play. Going to go a long way into determining that thing. But from a Steelers standpoint, where's your explosion? As good as Najee can be and has been at times, he's not an explosive player.
Right.
He's not going to take a ball the distance. He's going to kill you with death by a thousand cuts. He's going to wear you down. And then that's where Jalen Warren would come in and he could blow off a big one. We saw it last year against Cleveland. We saw it in the preseason game against Buffalo. He could take a ball 70 yards. Najee Harris isn't going to do that. So then you've got George Pickens. All right, well, there's your explosion player. We're going to pay him a ton of attention. You're not worried about Quez Watkins. You're not worried about Van Jefferson. And even though Freiermuth's a good player, you're not worried about him being that big-time explosive game breaker. The Steelers become very easy to prepare for, I think, in general anyway, but especially with the loss of Jalen Warren. I don't think you can understate that. I think that's a big deal.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And this is why the whole Ayuk thing even comes more precious now and figuring out how to get a guy like that on your team because you don't have any playmakers.
No.
I mean, to start the season at least. And, you know, it was very meek at the start with all this stuff. And now you really need somebody to break a game open if you need to. And you don't have that guy really on the roster. And if you do have that guy, which is probably George Pickens at this point, it's easy to take him out of a game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot easier. So the Steelers are not almost a non-threat, if you really think about it. I don't want to be too down about this situation, but where's their threat?
It's going to look a lot like last year, at least early, I think.
Where's the threat?
There's no threat. There's no threat.
I'm sitting there, if I'm the D coordinator, if I'm Raheem Morris, thinking like, okay, like, you know, the Steelers are really one-dimensional now. They have always kind of have been, but now it just makes us easier to game plan of how to slow them down. If we slow them down, then we could beat them. It's a shame.
Nick Herbig also with a significant injury, a torn rotator cuff, according to Jerry Dulac. He could miss the entirety of the season. So I think that means Spencer Anderson becomes a backup interior. Well, he is a backup interior, but he slides up the depth chart for you there.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to get out of a game, this is good for Zach Frazier, but if you need to get out of a game, if something should happen to Zach Frazier, you probably go with James Daniels,
mm-hmm.
and then you might slide in
Spencer Anderson at guard.
You either slide in Spencer Anderson or you slide in the guy that I always call Chance Warmack.
Who?
The Mason McCormick.
McCormick, yes. Yeah.
See, I did it to you there. I had Chance Warmack go through my head to the point where you couldn't think of his name either. Screw both of us up there. So the depth on the offensive line, now a concern. Nobody wanted, from the fan base standpoint, I don't think, Herbig to be your starting center. But I think most of us say, okay, his backup, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Well, now you're not going to have him. And then one more injury here while we're in the injury segment. Beanie Bishop did not play in the game. Penciling in as your starter or corner, what did Tomlin have to say?
You know, Beanie was a little bit limited on our last workday here on Thursday against Buffalo, and so we didn't want a small problem to become a big problem. Obviously, the sand's going through the hourglass, and he's got a big week ahead of him, but we didn't want to jeopardize or compromise that, and so we did what we thought was prudent tonight and didn't allow him to participate.
Sand's going through the hourglass.
Yeah, the sand's going right through that hourglass. How'd you like that first wave of terror in that game?
Mm.
I think aptly named. The first wave of terrible for the Steelers. So Beanie Bishop obviously did not play. I wonder if the field conditions were better, if it's not raining, maybe if he does play. I don't know what to read into that. Like, maybe he's so cemented, you don't need to see him. I doubt that. So this would be a massive week. Get him healthy. Get in there. Because if you get below the line play now from him in the final preseason game, that's when you're shopping. When all the cuts happen, you're not going to find a great player. We saw Stephon Gilmore just get signed by the Vikings. That stinks because you could have afforded that, but I think you're still holding out hope for Brandon Ayuk. You don't need a great player. Can you get a player that's cut that you think is an upgrade? Absolutely on the table. So, Beanie, for your sake, buddy, get healthy. Go out there and play a good game in preseason game number 3.
Or we'll see Patrick Peterson.
Dear God.
Yep.
All right, coming up next. Who do you want to see start a quarterback for the Steelers week 1? We'll take your calls on that. 412-928-9370. And I got another offensive line take that I want to get your thoughts on, Doran. We'll do that. We don't have weather anymore. It's in the system. So we'll be back in a few moments. Bang.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.